Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 170. My name is John. Went through to Texas. Yeah, Texas. And we had some fun. I was on the Twitter not too long ago, and I ran across a post from @JordanSchachtel. Asking for the most overrated city in America. Well, this got me thinking about which city I've visited that I would consider the most overrated. That part was easy. But then I decided to rank them and turn them into a podcast. But then I decided to do every place I've ever visited and rank them with some brief commentary. But then I decided that was way too broad, so I split it into 5 different lists. This is the last of the lists. I've covered the rest of the United States with lists on the big cities and towns and other areas. I've reviewed other countries that I've had the pleasure of visiting. But now, it's time to talk about my home state of Texas. First off, for me, most overrated, of course, would mean the widest gap between the hype that a city receives versus my personal experiences. Now, normally, and if you've listened to the other lists, I go from worst to best, but this time I'm just going to change up everything, and I'm going to go through different groupings of each category, and I'll explain that as I go along. To start off, let me go through a few of the decent-sized cities that don't often get the spotlight in Texas. First off is Lubbock. And to be perfectly honest, we just drove through there on the way home from Albuquerque, and all we really did was stop for dinner, which was really nice. I probably won't be returning unless I'm on a road trip going through that area, but it did seem like a nice place with wide-open country. Brownsville. Now, this is right on the border with Mexico, right down at the southern tip of Texas. We went there one afternoon, the last time we drove down to South Padre Island, for the sole purpose of checking out their zoo, which really was surprisingly nice for a comparatively small town. I mean, seriously, if you ever find yourself in Brownsville, Texas, go to the zoo. It's actually really good. Fort Worth. If you're going to visit Fort Worth, it really helps if you love country music and cowboy culture. And don't get me wrong, going out to the stockyards and watching them walk the Longhorns down the street is pretty damn cool. And I'd be willing to go back just to see that again. That's really the only thing truly special about the city that caught my attention that would make me want to recommend a visit to other people. Waco. Do you love, I mean, really love do-it-yourself projects or Dr. Pepper? Then have I got the town for you. Magnolia is the mecca for wannabe interior decorators willing to overpay for the joy of wandering the grounds of wholesome family fun inspired by Joanna Gaines. All right, that came off as pretty snarky, and I'm sorry about that. I don't mind it, really. I like Magnolia. I'm one of the many husbands that managed to find themselves there along with their wives, and I try to make the most of it. There are some really great photo opportunities around the place, and a decent selection of the food trucks, but it's just a little too prissy for me sometimes, okay? Gina does love the cupcakes there, and we almost always opt to wait in line to take some along with us on our journey. There's also the Dr. Pepper Museum, which is interesting, if not a bit underwhelming. Not sure if it's worth the price. But overall, Waco really is a good place to spend a weekend. Has some really good food there as well. Next, I want to cover the beach towns of Texas. Now, you need to understand something. Overall, Texas beaches suck compared to, say, the eastern part of the Gulf. If I was ranking beach towns that I've been to here in Texas, around the country, even internationally, all of the ones that I'm about to list would be at or near the bottom. Corpus Christi. If anybody tells you that they're going to Corpus for the beaches, they're lying. I mean, maybe it's just the ones that I've been to, but the ones that I've been to have been pretty nasty. Go out to Mustang Island, just not too far away. And to be perfectly honest, I can't say that I've ever had that great of a time in Corpus. So it's been alright, but there are plenty of other options. Rockport Fulton. This is northeast of Corpus, and these are two towns right next to each other. I'm still not entirely sure where one turns into the other, but I think there's a speed bump. There was a restaurant there, I believe it's in Rockport, or maybe it's Fulton, one or the other, called Charlotte Plumbers. And when we would go down to the Texas coast, we would make a habit to go to Charlotte Plumbers, because they had this amazing key lime pie. Except, apparently the little old lady who was making those pies retired, and after that, the quality took a very noticeable nosedive, so we haven't been back since. Port Isabel. This is the last mainland town before you crossing over the bridge to South Padre Island, and there are fiberglass dolphin statues painted by local artists spread around the town. And if you listen to the other podcasts, and keep listening to this one, you know how much we love that. And in fact, that's actually a very good segue to the next one on this list, going right across the Queen Isabella Causeway to South Padre Island, where they have started doing fiberglass turtle statues. And there are a few there that are absolutely beautiful, very well done. Other than that, on the island, franchises are starting to encroach, and the locally owned businesses are starting to decline, and we've noticed that over the years that we have visited, but it still has some good food offerings. But if there's one thing that I could say about South Padre Island, is that it really is a nice beach town. It just needs a nice beach. The sand is so compact, it's almost like walking on concrete. Galveston. This is another really nice beach town. Has some good restaurants and some nice bars. But it's still Texas beaches. And they're just barely passable. Beyond that, there's a few other places that I want to talk about real quick that aren't municipalities. Mustang Island, since we're going to finish up beaches here. This is south of Corpus. I mentioned them just a few minutes ago. This is on the barrier island, and it has the nicest sand of any of the Texas beaches that I can think of. If you're going to make me go to a Texas beach, this is the one that I'm going to choose. There's still a few local restaurants, at least there were the last time we've been there, and even a local grocery store that haven't been pushed out by big corporations. Again, it's been a few years since I've been there, so they may be gone by now, but at least as of the last visit, they were still there and they were very nice. Canyon Lake. Canyon Lake is a man-made lake north of San Antonio, and it's a nice little getaway. I was fortunate to do that a few times when I was a kid. Haven't been out there too much lately, but it is a nice little getaway for the afternoon. Canyon Lake is actually famous for being the place that inspired Christopher Cross to write Sailing, that 70s classic. Lost Maples. This one, to be honest, it's been a very long time since I've been there. I think I've only been there like once or twice, but it is a nice little park with some easy hiking trails. Enchanted Rock. Enchanted Rock is a 425-foot tall pink granite mountain. It's called a mountain, and I'm sure that's meant in the loosest definition of the word. I went there a few times in my youth, and when I was a kid, I would climb up in the mornings, come down for lunch, and go back up again in the afternoon. I loved it. And granted, it's probably been a couple of decades since I've been there, but I like to think I can still make it up to the top. The Jersey Barnyard. So, when COVID regulations ruined our annual anniversary trip a few years ago, we decided to do a road trip through Texas. And on the way back from Brenham, we stopped at this farm that advertised things like dairy tours, cow milking, and so forth. Well, we stopped there, and Gina got to bottle feed a calf. We learned how to milk a cow. We walked around looking at all the barnyard animals. It was silly, and it was fun. And it was just what we needed. Pika Ranch. On that same COVID anniversary trip, we stopped at Pika Ranch. It's a llama ranch, and Gina had booked a tour for us there. We got to tour their barn, and I gotta tell you, those llamas are absolutely freaking adorable. They're so cute, they're so soft. Some of them are just, you know, they have the cutest, whitest eyes. Really, they are adorable animals. And they stink to high heaven. I swear to God, if you have a cold and you can't smell anything, perfect time to go. Okay, next up, I'm going to go through a bunch of small towns and historic districts. First off, just really quickly in passing, I'm going to mention San Angelo. I was there one time when I was a small child. I was taken up there for a family reunion that I don't even remember, only that I rode up there with my mom and my grandmother. I only mention this because up until my honeymoon, it was the farthest I had ever been from my place of birth. That's kind of sad. Fort Stockton. We stopped there on our way out to Roswell a couple of years ago, and the whole place just looked tired. The restaurant that was highly recommended on Yelp took forever, even though there were only a few people, and the food was a huge disappointment. So, passing through, probably not ever going to be passing through again. Lukenbach, Texas. Be honest with yourself. You only know this town exists because of the song. And to be perfectly honest, if you're driving the road from Burney up to Fredericksburg, you would probably miss it if you weren't paying attention to the signs. It's got a general store / post office and a stage for live music. That's it. Marble Falls. We've been up there twice. Once, a long time ago, we went up there to try out a restaurant that was highly recommended called the Blue Bonnet Cafe and visit a winery. And we remember having a really good meal at Blue Bonnet Cafe. Second time we went, several years later, we stayed for a little while in town itself, toured around the downtown area. Had some nice artwork, some nice history to look at. But the restaurant, well, it was definitely a big step backwards in the quality. So, I'd go up to Marble Falls, but I wouldn't go up there for the restaurant. I'd go up there just to see the downtown and the artwork again. Llano. I was only there once for an art festival. It was nice. That's all I got. Kerrville. We went there during the early weeks of COVID just to get away for the day. The historic downtown area was pretty uneventful. Could have been because of the situation, I'm not sure. We've seen some videos of other things in the area, and since it's only an hour away, we're probably going to go back and give it another shot. Hopefully it'll be better this time. Round Top. This is a little town that we stopped at for lunch before that llama tour at Pika Ranch that I mentioned earlier. We went to a place called Royer's Round Top Cafe, and it was good, but compared to the hype that it had on Yelp, I think it was a little underwhelming. There was a little area with a bunch of shops that probably would have been open if it weren't for the COVID regulations. So maybe if we ever find our way going up to Brenham again, we'll stop there and check it out. Luling. This is a town just north of I-10, about halfway between San Antonio and Houston. And again, I'm going to be perfectly honest. I go there for one reason and one reason only. City Barbecue. My personal favorite barbecue joint in Texas. Helotes. This is a small town on the far northwest side of San Antonio. They've really started building up their historic district, and they have market days once a month. And I like to go there because there's a vendor there that makes the best kettle corn I've ever had. Perfect balance of salty and sweet. Head kettle corn, freshly made from other vendors, doesn't even compare. Dripping Springs. West of Austin, this is an up-and-coming town that's really built itself up over the past 20 years. I highly recommend a visit to Deep Eddy Vodka. And their frozen hot chocolate is one of the few mixed alcoholic beverages that I will actively seek out to drink. The famous Salt Lick Barbecue restaurant is a few miles southeast of there. And it's good, but don't forget, you have to pay with cash. Wimberley. From March to December, on the first Saturday of the month, Wimberley is known for its market days, with hundreds of visitors selling various items. Get there early and hope that the parking lots haven't already filled up. Mineral Wells. We visited this one last year, and we went to Crazy Water Spa. I like this place. I think it has the potential to become the next big day trip slash weekend getaway location for North Texas. For right now, though, the place is pretty run down. It's kind of the small town equivalent of a fixer-upper. Brenham, the Texas town built on ice cream. And you can go there to the Bluebell Factory and get ice cream scoops for a dollar, including flavors that you can't get anywhere else. Just don't say the word Listeria around there. Also, the town has several murals in the downtown area that are worth wandering around to take photographs of. Some very nice artwork. Waxahachie. This is a nice town south of Dallas. It has a very impressive courthouse building in the downtown historic area, as well as large fiberglass hearts painted by local artists. And you know how Gina and I are about wandering around town looking for painted fiberglass statues. This is a great place for it. Pipe Creek. This is a little town northwest of San Antonio on the way to Bandera. We've been there a couple of times. We went there once for a holiday festival. It was really nice. Had a really good pie lady there. But it got hit with a heavy storm while we were there, so it kind of put a kink in the day. But there's also a very good local brewery, has a nice selection there, so it's a good place to stop through on a road trip. Grapevine. I've covered this also a few times in the podcast. This is where Texas historic downtown vibes meet urban chic. It has some really good eats, good drinks, really good desserts, and definitely go there during the holidays between Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's absolutely beautiful. Fredericksburg. This is probably the most famous of all the hill country towns. It's home to the Nimitz Museum, some really good restaurants. My current favorites are the Hitchin Post and the Auslander. Fredericksburg has been known for decades as one of the major wine areas in the state. And if you drive out west from the town, you're going to see at least a dozen different wineries, including the Rhinery, which is a winery and rhinoceros preserve. Actually go out there, sip wine, and watch the rhinoceros roam around. Also in the area, not a winery, just a place to stay, is Long Neck Manor, where you can view both rhinoceros and giraffes. Lately, though, in addition to the wineries, a lot of breweries and distilleries are opening up. So let's just say we and our friends like to go out there as often as we can. Blanco. One of my favorite day trips, even after the loss of my dearly departed Rough Diamond Brewery. A moment of silence, please. Blanco has some great barbecue at Old 300, some great beer and spirits at Real Ale, and like most everyone else, they also have monthly market days. But to be honest, I like it because of the food and the alcohol. Now, I'm getting close to the end here. For the next to last category, I'm going to give you what I call the Pickle Tour. These are all places in Texas, in the Hill Country, where you can find fickle pickles. Now, I'm not a pickle connoisseur by any means, but I absolutely love these. You pop one of these pickle slices in your mouth, and you'll first taste the sweetness, then sour, and it finally finishes with a little spice. The changing flavors, hence fickle pickles. New Braunfels. This is a town northeast of San Antonio. Really, the only time I ever go there is to visit my friend from Phoenix when she's in town. And we really only go up there to walk around a park or two and just kind of drive through town to get to other places. You can get fickle pickles right by the roundabout in the historic district. New Braunfels, every November, holds Wurstfest. It's a festival of German sausages, which, like most festivals, once I've been to, I don't need to go back. But I still recommend giving it a try if you're ever in the area during the right time. Green. It's pronounced green, but it looks like grün, which, of course, is the German word for green. Go figure. This is a little town near New Braunfels, and it's known for a few things. It's known as a place to go tubing. It's known for the Grist Mill Restaurant, which is a restaurant in a refurbished grist mill. Imagine that. And Green Dance Hall, which has hosted countless country music stars. None of these things interest me. But I do like to go there. And when I do go, I prefer to go to Mozzie's, which has really great food. And you can get fickle pickles at the little store tucked away behind the coffee house. And don't worry about, you know, having to walk around too much at Green. It's only a couple blocks long anyway. Burney. It's a quick 30 minutes or so northwest of San Antonio, and it was the first place to sell fickle pickles inside a place called Carousel Antiques. Burney itself has started to grow a bit, with some welcome renovations to its downtown area. Dodging Duck is a good little microbrewery and restaurant close by. Richter Tavern has been a hit every time we've gone. And like most towns, it has monthly market days. This one is in the town park, and when they have it, it is packed with vendors. Not as many as Wimberley, but it's still a good size. And then we have Bandera. I like this place Because it has a really good liquor store, and it offers free samples. Pickles are right around the corner from the liquor store. There's a huge antique store, which around these parts is code for garage sale in disguise, but it can take a few hours to walk through it so big. There's also some good restaurants and a food truck that sells what they call Amish donuts, which are sourdough donuts with a maple glaze, and they are absolutely addicting. The market days in Bandera are usually pretty underwhelming until you get later in the year, close to the holidays. But you do often see photo opportunities with a longhorn or horse-drawn wagon. It's a nice little getaway for us. They're not too far. Alrighty, so that takes care of pretty much all of the smaller cities, hill country towns, and so forth in my home state. So I'm going to wrap this podcast up with the big names. I have long had a certain impression of the big cities of Texas. The ones commonly known as the Big Three, with teams in the major sports leagues. And all three of them fall into the glad I got to see it category. I'm not going to turn down a visit, but I'm not really going to actively seek one out either. But there's one additional city that's close to joining the ranks of the Big Three, and reviewing them all is how I want to wrap this podcast. This is my impression of the four largest cities in my home state of Texas. Imagine, if you will, four siblings. The first sibling is the successful one. Big money, big business, and they don't let anybody forget about it. But the more you get to know this sibling, you realize it's all about the bragging rights with them. Yeah, it's impressive, but beyond that, so what? It's kind of boring. That's Houston. I spent a few weekends there, took in a couple of baseball games, but the downtown area is wildly unimpressive to me. The second sibling is the popular one. Attractive, chic, and they know it. But the more you get to know this sibling, you realize it's all about the reputation. And maybe those glamour days have passed. That's Dallas. It's a little glitzy, but nothing really impressed me. We've had some good meals there, some pretty good upscale barbecue, which I feel kind of weird saying upscale barbecue, but that's what it is. And I think for anybody who's interested, even remotely interested, in American history, needs to go to the Sixth Floor Museum in Dallas to learn about the city's most infamous day. The third sibling is the Wallflower. Pleasant, somewhat successful in a more blue-collar kind of way, but not as popular as the other siblings. This sibling spends way too much time fretting over living in the shadows of the others and trying to impress everybody rather than just accepting what it is. That is my hometown of San Antonio. Gina and I purposely avoid going to downtown at any cost. It's absolutely a pain in the ass going down there, unless we absolutely have to. Of course, though, when we have out-of-town guests visit, we do take them to the Riverwalk and, yes, the Alamo. And yes, the Alamo is so much smaller than you think it is. Now, of course, I'm biased, but if you ask me to pick between the big three cities in Texas, I'm going to have to go with the charm and history of my hometown. But there's one more sibling that I want to discuss. And if you've been paying attention to these lists, you know how I'm talking about overrated things. And what have I not talked about yet? Oh, yeah. This last sibling is the new kid, making a name as the fun one. You want a party? You want to hang out with this sibling. And it is fun. For a while. But then you get to know the sibling a little bit more. And you realize that beyond the fun, the sibling is, well, the sibling's a pompous douchebag who thinks their fame and reputation makes them superior to everybody else. That's Austin. And it is my easy pick for the most overrated place in the great state of Texas. I will admit, when I first began developing the idea to rank the places that I visited, I used the Big Four sports team rule as an excuse to diss Austin, to take them down a peg. Ooh, Austin has South by Southwest. Yeah, and it's turned into yet another altar to corporatism that the citizens claim to hate, but you know they secretly love it. Ooh, look at that slogan, Keep Austin Weird. Yeah, they stole that from Portland. Austin has 6th Street, which is great if you're some co-ed from UT lying to their parents about how they spend their weekend. But New Orleans does daily parties so much better. I-35 is horrid, atrocious to drive through at pretty much any time of day. I'm actually considering taking a toll road to avoid it. Let me say that again. Me, the small government kind of person, I'm considering taking a toll road just to avoid Austin. That's how bad it is. Austin isn't weird. It's pretentious. So, unless you're taking me to Hoover's for soul food, I'm happy to pass it by. Yeah. Unlike my other lists, most of the places that I talked about here are pretty easily accessible, even though Texas is vast. If I'm going to drive more than 3 hours to a place, I would prefer it to be an overnight stay. But you can probably tell we like visiting the historic downtowns, as each one has its charm. The big cities are okay, but the surrounding areas are usually more interesting and far less crowded, which is a big bonus. As I mentioned before, I'm not here to try to start a debate about what places are good or not, but to inspire you to think about your favorites to recommend, or even places you think people should avoid, like Austin. Unless you're going to Hoover's for soul food, you should avoid Austin. Austin sucks. Oh, and there's one more reason that I use the sibling analogy. You know how you can make fun of your brothers and sisters, but if someone outside the family makes fun, you get mad? I'll talk shit about the other Texas cities, but unless you're also a Texan, keep your insults to yourself. Them's fighting words. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.